It's another Saturday, and interestingly enough, we're in November now. One important thing that I want to point out to everybody listening, almost everywhere in America, every year, November, the first Tuesday, is Election Day. Although we look at the main elections being in even years, like 2020, 2022, 24, etc., every year there's often local elections, and those are the people you live with, your mayors, your police chiefs, depending on what the election setup is where you live. So please remember, and here in Orlando, where we're broadcasting from, early voting for elections started last Monday, and it goes through this Saturday, and then, of course, actually this coming Monday. But that's usually done here at the Supervisor of Elections office, Cayley Street. You also generally have supervisors. Often that's where you go for early elections, so look it up wherever you are. Because the title for today is In Service to Our Country, and our was in caps when I put it out. Because no matter how you think of it, this country is our country. As I said, we're all Americans. No matter what party you choose to vote for or candidate or anything else, the country's called America. We're all called Americans. And voting, especially in your local election, shows that you care about what happens where you are. So that's why I brought it up. The subject, In Service to Our Country, anybody who's listened to me is I am a veteran. When I was 18 and they had the draft, I not only registered, but I said, take me in. I volunteered, I passed the physical, and they took me in because I felt my country deserves it. When you study the history of the country, which I was always intrigued by, and I keep learning new things as I go along, the only way we have our country and the only way it stays great and gets greater as we go along is because we are a diverse nation. Basically, people are born here after somebody emigrated here, whether it's from another country, whether it was the Indians coming across the frozen Bering Straits thousands of years ago. Basically, as far as I know, we all came to this country one way or another before it was a country and after it was a country. We have to get smarter because as our country continues to grow, because we are a good-sized country, we still have a lot of room to grow. You get to some cities that are crowded, but I've been to foreign cities that are more crowded. We have to understand that the country is only as good as we make it. And no matter what happens with aggregation of wealth in the hands of a few, that's happened throughout history. You can go back and look up trust busting and everything else where you had one or two men who were famous. They were the richest people in the country and nobody was even near them. And there's nothing against that. The thing I love about our country is that we are free to exercise our right to do what we want to try and make something of our life. Nobody stops us. The only thing that stops us is us. As long as it's legal and you don't hurt other people, there is no country that's greater to exercise your imagination, your creativity, than here. So that's what we're going to talk about in general, a lot of things that happen. And when I say in service to our country, when people hear I'm a veteran, it's often, you know, I may pay for something at a hardware store and I get a discount because I'm a veteran in our local stores. They say, thank you for your service. Sometimes I look at them and I remind them, I said, well, yes, I was in uniform, but I still serve my country. I never stop. I've talked about things that I'm doing because when I see something that I don't feel is right, a group that needs help, I've participated when it's Feed the Hungry, helped people when they built. I've worked with Habitat for Humanity, building houses. You know, this is how the country was formed. And what makes us great, we have a heart. So, when you talk to people who've been in uniform, that's not it. The CIA has an interesting wall when you walk in the building. They have these stars on the wall Right now, it's over 130 of them, or maybe more. And the stars are because these people work in clandestine operations. You don't want to out them. People will know who they worked with. You can put people's lives in danger. So there are about 130, maybe it's gotten to 150 at this point. Service in the military is less than 1%. We have over 300 million people. 3 million is a good chunk of the population. However, because of modern weapons, technology, and blasts that they do, you don't need these massive armies anymore. But it doesn't mean that we can't serve our country. Every day when we understand that this country is as great as it is because of how we interact with each other. For example, CIA, FBI, 17 intelligence agencies, and then all of the state and local people that they interact with so that they get information and share it so we can possibly understand what's happening before something happens. We easily have 3 to 5 million people that work in intelligence and military and the rest of it. So when you see someone in uniform, I appreciate that you thank me. But I thank all those countless people because if I go into battle, somebody made that gun for me. I didn't make it. Somebody made the ammunition, the maps I need, the planes that we fly, the tanks that we use. As a country, we are stronger because we understand that we built it together and we will go forward making it better. We don't just get new restaurants from strange countries that nobody's heard of. That's part of the benefit of all the diversity that has come to this country. And again, I grew up in New York City. I was born there. And the diversity is so huge that almost the majority of countries on the planet are represented in a city like New York. I keep joking it's the center of the universe, but to me, it's the heart of my country. Washington, D.C., I love it too. Again, a place with a lot of different cultures. So when we talk in service to our country, we always have to be vigilant. We have to see what's going on. You know, they say with terrorism, they say if you see something, say something. There's nothing wrong with questioning, calling 911, you see a strange package. So we, the people, are constantly serving our country if we want it to be as great as it is and continue to grow and stay the way we want it. So that's what we're going to talk about, a lot of things that are going on. And again, this is one of those weekends that we have a treat. My alter ego is back in my head. And, well, let my alter ego kind of get going. Put a lot of stuff together. Let's hear what it has to say.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's always such a pleasure being here with your host and speaking of current and past events and getting some historical perspective. You know, in service to our country, and I think anybody that's listening, because this show this morning is going to be very diverse in terms of the issues we discuss, because we cannot live in a silo. We have to understand what's happening in our community, in other states, in the United States. We're 50 independent countries under a federal umbrella. And we've got to remember that something that may happen in New Jersey, California, Alabama, could also have an impact in our own states or in our own communities. Because remember, governors and mayors, they get together, they talk about issues, they come up with solutions, they may decide that someone's action could also work in their state. So obviously that's going to affect, you know, how you live your day-to-day life. So you cannot pretend that these things are not happening at all. So you have to remember that you have to keep in touch. So one of the things that I did, I remember when I first came to America, right? America was considered, at that time, the policemen of the world. Used to drive me nuts. What do you mean they're the policemen of the world? You know, you're insulting, you know, other countries. And then I started doing some research. And you're going to see two photos that I dug up. What represented America? So you have the photo of the female, for women who always think that women are not represented in anything. Prior to Uncle Sam, there was a woman called Columbia in 1738, and she was representative of the United States. Notice the flag with the various states and her reaching out her hand, which really meant, you know, come all, come to America, come to the country that a lot of people immigrated from. Remember, our country started with Europeans migrating to the United States. The Indians were here, the Mexicans were here before the Europeans got here. And you started with 13 colonies, and then you started creating what we now know the USA, the country. But the country was always here. It wasn't called the United States of America at that moment in time. And the United States of America really means the uniting of the colonies and all the states that we have today into a federal government, a republic. So then we have the woman, and then we ended up right during the World War I with the poster, the famous poster and recruiting poster used by the military, Uncle Sam, I want you. But when the poster first came out, actually, in 1916, it was called, What Are You Doing for Preparedness? What are you doing to help your country in any kind of way? Whether you're building engines, whether you're part of the military, whether you're conserving money and resources so that we're able to go into battle and do what we need to do and preserve our country. That's what in service to our country is. And I want people to remember, what do we have today? We have a General John Kelly putting down our country, wants the FBI to be eliminated. He was a crook. He was fired by President Obama, picked up by Mr. Donald Trump. I don't know why Donald Trump likes to have nothing but corrupt people in his administration. But when did we go from Uncle Sam wants you? When did we go from Kennedy saying, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? When did we get away from the pride that we had in our country, our military, our law enforcement, to now we don't care, now they're bad, now the corrupt people are the good people, and the people who are keeping you and I safe? Because let's be honest, like the host just said, over 300 million people and 1% or less of the population is in the military. So how are you serving your country? How can you have pride in your country if you're not giving something back? If you're not even being a cook at a military base? Because all of it is needed, not just the guys that go out into war. Every piece of it is necessary. How can you call yourself a patriot and you allow the insult of your country by your own president to foreign entities? How can you allow them to put down your military guys who are protecting you? How can you allow them to put down your law enforcement who are protecting you? Because for all the good, the bad things that happen, because life is not 100%. Nobody has a good 100% relationship. There's always going to be good and bad. But if it wasn't for those people, you wouldn't own your home, your cars. You couldn't sleep well at night. They're the ones that are out there trying to protect you the best way they can. How can you allow America, your country, to be put down by your Congress, your Republican senators, your Republican House members, Republican governors, newspapers that claim that they're right and everybody else is wrong, like Fox News, Breitbart? And I'm not here to try to sway you one way or the other. What I'm saying is, in service to your country, where is the pride? Where is the patriotism? We can have disagreements, but insulting our country, calling other countries to be better than what we are, is that what you want America to be? And I want to talk to immigrants. You come from countries where you have dictatorships. You come from countries where you don't have opportunities, and yet you want to form the same type of government in America that you left. You're okay with a dictator now. You're okay with repressive regimes. Then why don't you go back to your country and live happily ever after? Don't come here and try to set the same model that you were running away from. This country has evolved. Was it always perfect? Absolutely not. We repressed for 400 years an entire race of people. We didn't give them opportunities. Today, we still don't do it. But you know what? If you fight your way through it, if you try to make something happen, you can succeed. You may not be a millionaire. All of us can't be doctors. Somebody has to pick up the garbage, because if they don't pick it up, you know what's going to happen to your community? Every little job, every little effort counts.
Anyway, you have to understand that we are a sum total of all the people and the different things they've brought to us, the cultures, the education. When you study history enough, way before there was a United States, way before there was an America, you had famous learning centers, whether they were in China, whether they were in Prague, which was a famous learning center. In Poland, there were famous learning centers. So it kept shifting as mankind developed. But as mankind developed and you went through this era of leaders, because in the old days it was hand-to-hand combat, who was stronger, who'd beat the other one down, till we realized, you know what, we don't have to kill everybody to live a decent life. And we created a unique situation here. It's actually interesting. Haiti was actually legally a democracy, I believe, a short time before we became one. But we were a special type of democracy where we had 13, whether you call them colonies or states, term comes from a state. France is a state. The king used to say, l'état est moi, I am the state, okay? But when we had this jurisdiction called a state, it's the equivalent of a country. So we have easily 50 countries and some territories. But the difference was our founding fathers had a lot of interesting ideas. And remember, in the Constitution, the famous words were, in order to form a more perfect union. They knew that humanity never is perfect. They knew that we had to strive. We make amendments to our Constitution as needed. We get new technology, so we have to understand how it affects us. I have an interesting thing we're not going to get into today, but the internet, which was started on universities and the rest of it, and given, it's actually an electronic roadway that we developed and allowed the public to use, yet we don't look at it as a highway, just because it doesn't have asphalt or concrete. But it is, because we've dealt with commerce as it developed and as our country built. We'll go into that another time. So let me go back to my alter ego. I want you to think about everything we're talking about, because you know what? As they said, whether it's terrorism or just living our life, if you see something, say something. And it isn't just somebody left a package and you call 911. You see people, and you see they could use a little helping hand. You know what? You look at it, you say, I hope I'm never like that. But the way to express your feeling is sometimes to offer a helping hand. So, back to my alter ego.
And I want to add to what the host just said. You know, we really need to pay attention to what developed out of this small country. That was just 13 colonies, just people coming from Ireland, France, England, etc. The forming of our constitution was based on the French, based on a little bit on the British, and a lot on the American Indian. And they were smart enough to make it a dynamic document, because you have to grow. The nation has grown. We started with maybe 5 people. Now we have over 300 plus million people. Technology has changed. You have to address the changes while keeping the basic principles of the Constitution that we should all be holding dear. So you need to understand where we came from. Destroying what was before you is not always the answer. And unfortunately, we have an administration that believes destroy everything. We want to make sure that I and my constituents, meaning the wealthy, retain power and continue to retain power. But there was a lot of struggles to get to the rights that we have today. Let's talk a little bit about education. Let's talk about Betsy DeVos. Oh my God, don't you love it? Another billionaire who has no background in education other than going to preppy schools, never having really to work, doesn't understand what it takes to educate a child. But yet she's making decisions about our schools. And I want to remind people that in 2015, we had the issue of those Corinthian for-profit colleges. By the way, we have a lot of these for-profit colleges. You see them on TV. They're telling you how you can earn $100,000 when you graduate from their schools. That's a lie. A lot of them are charging you more than your normal university. I have no clue why people go to those schools. Go to the state universities. Why are you going to those schools? You're paying double. They're lying to you. But I understand you're trying to make a better life. They make it flexible, I guess, for you. But we had the Corinthian schools fail. They made promises and students were in debt for much more money than they would have been under normal circumstances. Think about it. I paid for my own school. I'm sure your host did too. Some of you have paid for your children, took money, your little savings, to try to give your child a better future. You're in debt for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000. I was in debt for $50,000. I think I owe maybe 10 now, but you know how many years I've been paying for that and the interest? And I couldn't even renegotiate the student loan and renegotiate the interest down when interest was 1%. I still had to continue paying 6%. So what does she do? A ruling was made that Corinthian colleges were lying to students, and a lot of these students were in debt. And they failed and went out of business, you know, for lack of a better term. President Barack Obama had put in place an order that said, you know, we have to give some relief to these students. If they can provide some data, we're going to forgive the loans. Everything was working hunky-dory till Donald Trump put Betsy DeVos in power. And even though these students sued because she wasn't processing their applications, she was denying their applications, the courts put an injunction and said, hey, you can't do that. You're violating the law. But secretly, her and the education department kept collecting the debt from these students. Some of them paid because, you know, you get a call, you get afraid, you pay it. She garnished their paycheck. She went into their Social Security history to find out where they worked and how much they made, and garnished their paycheck, garnished any federal refunds that were due to them. And her answer, you gotta love it. Well, you know, they're taking advantage of the federal government and our taxpayers. How about the fact that you're taking advantage by getting tax breaks you don't deserve? Who's paying for that? The average working American. America. Voters, you have to pay attention. You're the one that's footing the bill for the people who don't need it. Why do you hate the fact that the average working person is getting anything? You pay your taxes. I pay my taxes. Do I not deserve to get some good treatment? So they fined the department $100,000. And what she decided to do in 2017 was to come up with a rule of a sliding scale of how we're going to allow you to get loan forgiveness. or debt relief from this particular scandal that took place in our country. And you'll see, you're able to see the way that she came up with these numbers. How about we give the wealthy a sliding scale of no tax breaks, none of these deductions that they get? How about we do that? But for the average person now, if I make $20,000, you're deciding I don't deserve loan forgiveness for this particular situation? It's not loan forgiveness for everything.
It's from a scam where it was a for-profit institution that charged you more than other ones, that the courts declared they weren't going through with what they advertised. You had a scam. So they were actually saying, we're going to forgive the debt because you were scammed.
Absolutely.
She's going to decide it could still be collected. When what's our education secretary there for except to improve our education, not to go after some people who she could easily, with a flick of her finger, pay off all that debt?
And you know, the sad part about it is a lot of these people, their credit went south. So that means you can't buy a car, you can't buy a house, you can't do anything. Because this woman who doesn't know what it is to miss a meal, has no clue what it is to actually pay for education, has no clue what it is to go to bed hungry, just like our president and a lot of the people in Congress. They have no clue, but they're deciding your future. And just like our host just mentioned, you have got to vote in your local election. Your local elections become federal elections, become federal issues. And if you don't keep abreast of what's going on, everybody else is going to make decisions for your future, your children's future, and your grandchildren's future.
Anyway, the point is that everything does affect us. It may not seem like it, but everything has a purpose. When we built our society, when we built things, as I said, you know, you get people who come along and they convince you that you're all burdened with too many rules and regulation. What they're really saying is that we want a more open field so we could do what we want and get away with what we'd like to. In a built environment, a society that is getting denser and more populated, we need rules and regulations. It's easy enough when you understand that a traffic light is a regulator. It regulates how people can cross a corner so that it's easy to get someplace, so you can go across your town or your city. I had a grandfather who lived in a town. He had a little farm when I was a child, before I even started school, that you did not have to sneeze to miss this town. It was so small. So, of course, they had no traffic light, but they had no traffic. The cows were the traffic, the horses, the chickens. But as we build up, rules and regulations have to be useful. Not just automatically take people who say, well, we're burdened with all of these things, we're going to get rid of them. As I've said before in prior podcasts, we serve our country and ourselves by looking at what's going on, by working with our neighbors. When our neighbor's car breaks down and we say, hey, I'll take your kids and drop them off at school, we're serving our country. It may not seem like it because it's local, but everything plays out in your neighborhood and eventually gets through to everything else and how we treat each other. And again, I've always said, the thing I love about my country is you could become a gazillionaire. That doesn't matter. But we have a president who is now running around. And again, as far as I'm concerned, what they've discovered about him breaking the law, where they're going to look to impeach him, I've already explained to everybody, he broke the law. Solicitation, you don't need a quid pro quo. Solicitation is against the law, especially election law. He registered for running for president with the Federal Election Commission. The chair of the Federal Election Commission, I'll bring you her quote in. She said, I didn't think I have to tell anybody in this day and age that solicitation of a foreign country, national, or company is illegal. So the man disqualified himself by breaking federal election law when he was running. As far as I'm concerned, I don't need to waste the money impeaching this man. He's invalid as a president by his own hand. And when I filed with the Federal Election Commission, I discovered that a fancy law firm that he hired filed an affidavit and filed a brief saying this man could not have, this was back in around 2000 or the 1990s, said, well, this man, our client, Mr. Trump, he could not break election law. He understands election law. So he wouldn't make such a mistake. And they've got a sworn affidavit that they filed and a brief that they did saying he understands election law. Well, I can tell you, look at what happened during the election. He broke election law by solicitation of a foreign company, country, person. Russia, if you're listening, that solicitation, even if they didn't answer him, he broke the law. Bribery is against our federal law. He bribed two women. We saw the checks when Michael Cohen was getting sent to jail. So as far as I'm concerned, he disqualified himself before he became president. He shouldn't even be in the White House right now. So we have to understand, we have these rules and stuff. If we don't like them and we feel they need adjustment, that's how we participate in our government. It's our country, our government. We don't just say, hey, that's bad and get rid of it till we find out we've hurt ourselves. We investigate, we read, we do something about it. Anyway, back to my alter ego.
As we continue in service to our country, and one of the things that I'm tracking is not just what's happening in the U.S., but we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about abortion, because I think in 2019, many young people, many women, many young men have forgotten how we got here, a very fundamental right that's covered in the 14th Amendment to our Constitution. People, please go online and read what the 14th Amendment to the Constitution says. It protects your privacy. You have rights under your privacy. What started what we know as today Roe v. Wade, which, by the way, was Jane Roe versus Henry Wade, district attorney for the state of Texas. Texas had a ban on abortion in 1970, that women could not have abortion unless her life was threatened. And this woman brought her case because she was pregnant. And in 1973, January 22nd of 1973, remember, this is why you have to know why we're here today before you start deciding, let's get rid of everything. And you're hurting yourself or the future of yourself through your children or your grandchildren. January 22nd of 1973, in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court struck down Texas' ban on abortion in violation of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, protecting your privacy rights. Now, what do we have going on in Missouri? Kansas City, to be correct. We have a state that has decided that they no longer want Planned Parenthood in their state performing abortions. They've decided through a man, women, listen well. Women, you've got to become more active. If you really care about self-determination and having some control about your life, why are you allowing a bunch of men to decide what you can do with your body, how many times they can poke and prod you? This wonderful individual has decided in Missouri, the state health department, to keep a spreadsheet of how often a woman has her period and how many women are getting their periods. How freaky is that? Why does he need to do that? Does he keep track of his daughters and his wives' monthly cycle? Why does he have a right to keep track of yours? And he claims because he wanted to see how many failed abortions in a Planned Parenthood clinic actually took place. Why is that his damn business? That's what a doctor does.
Let me just quickly state so everybody understands it. As we progressed into the modern era, a lot of enlightened people said, you know what? Everybody in other countries or other areas or some backwoods have not had proper sex education in the old days. So somebody came up with the idea of Planned Parenthood. Think of what the name says. It's planning to be a parent, period. Planned Parenthood was not designed to just do abortions. In fact, abortions, which my alter ego will speak about, it's a minor part of what they do. They're really there as a health organization for people to get information. Let me let my alter ego expand on it, but you've got to understand, people are shutting down something that makes no sense.
Absolutely. So the administrative judge, they held hearings this week. They took testimony from women. This man went so far as to, you know, demand more vaginal probing days before your abortion could take place. Very invasive requirements by a politician and an organization. Now, I'm not against you having rules. I believe in rules that says, you know, the clinic has to be clean, the doctors need to be certified. I mean, all these things are a protection for us from a health perspective. Everything else, keeping spreadsheets, how often I went to the clinic, how many abortions I had or didn't have, who my partners were or weren't. It's a little freaky, women. And I got to tell you, I'm going to bring this up because I know somebody's going to send me something. Yes, Jane Roe, after she won, years later, converted to a Catholic, regretted filing the case, et cetera, because in her private life, she changed. We change. We have opinions about things when we're young. Then when we become in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, we change again. Why? Because we evolve. Does that mean, however, that we should be, we should lose a right that we gained in 1973? Young men, young women, you need to pay attention. This woman was fighting something that was restricted in a state that you could not have even the choice of making a decision about your life. You could have been raped. You could have been molested sexually in your own home, and you had to still have this child. So you can raise it and abuse it and be angry and be pissed off and have another child that's just having problems in their lives.
Let me just try and get across a point. You may say, what does this have to do with service to our country? Everybody thinks service to the country means putting the uniform on. No, we live in this country. It's our home. Do you clean your home? Do you make sure that you have supplies that you need? Do you try and have a functioning kitchen? This is our home. We each, as I've explained in some of my podcasts, every American, 300 plus million of us, own one share, no matter how rich or poor we are, of this country called America. And you know what? It's equal to the same one share that a Jeff Bezos owns or a Betsy DeVos. Think about it this way. I've had friends and acquaintances who asked me to help them when they came here and they wanted to get their citizenship. I helped them. I went and listened to some of the hearings. Guess what? You've got some hearing officers who have their own mindset. And when they questioned women, they said, oh, you have a child. How many times did you have lovers? How many people did you have? Men came up to them. They didn't ask them, how many women did you go to bed with? So there is an unfair treatment here. That's not what the country is about. Whatever way you want to think about it is, you wouldn't want somebody to tell you that if you had a prostate that was killing you, that you couldn't get it removed and it isn't covered by medical coverage.
And I do want to say a good point that the host just made. Women, think about it. How many times, even in job applications or other things that you may be doing when they find out you have a kid, that's the question they do ask you. How many kids do you have? How many births do you have? When you go to a doctor's office, the minute you say you've had a kid or you've had an abortion, well, how many times? Well, why the hell is that important, actually? If I'm only going for you to check me out, a normal checkup, why is that important? I say that to say that I don't think that we think about these things because we've gotten so used to being treated like two-year-olds that we just go along and answer the question and never say, why is that important? So I want you to pay particular attention to this case, because this case is going to be the landmark case that's going to get to the Supreme Court of the United States to completely ban abortion in all 50 states. And you know that Republicans, for the past 10 years, have restricted abortion to a point where it's non-existent in some of these states. This is the landmark case that would make that decision. But let's talk about Planned Parenthood, because Planned Parenthood serves a purpose. Many of you parents out there don't talk to your children about sex. You get all skittish about it, even though you watch porn on TV, you watch it online, you've got pornography magazines laying around. But when it comes to talking to your kids, you send them out there not prepared to make good decisions. Thank God for schools that give sex education classes, and even that you're against. I don't understand it. But Planned Parenthood provides services, the emergency contraception, morning after pill, general health care to go and check on your diabetes, blood pressure, HIV services if you have HIV, LGBT services, men's health services. You know what that means, men? Prostate checkup. Make sure that you are functioning properly, that you don't have cancer that could kill you. You know, patient education about sex education. They give pregnancy testing and services for women, especially a lot of college girls who may get into trouble. They're not sure. They don't want to tell their parents as yet. They want to verify, right? STD testing, treatment, and vaccine. If you end up with chlamydia or any of those diseases out there because you weren't careful or your partner didn't tell you that they're infected, they have women's services, breast exam, cancer exam. It's not just about abortion, but if you listen to the Republican Party and all these men and these Christian women or whatever the case might be, you would think that Planned Parenthood, that's all they do. Actually, that's not the majority of what they do. The majority of what they do is provide services for people who can't afford it, for young people who need to go and talk to someone, for men who are embarrassed to go to their normal doctor. They feel there's something wrong. They don't know how to address it. They go and check it out. If you need birth control because you can't afford the $35 they charge you at the pharmacy and you want to be a responsible adult, that's what Planned Parenthood does.
And you know what? When you hear the word Republican mentioned and we talk about it, I grew up with all kinds of friends. The Republican Party, and I spent a lot of time in Washington during my corporate days. Republicans were just people who had a different outlook on how to run the government, not how to run our private lives. Okay? So what you hear now, where people march in lockstep like they're all following a Hitler off the cliff, that's the Republicans you see nowadays. I really challenge them to stand up and be independent, as our country taught them to be. Because you know what? Republicans, their creativity. Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican, he envisioned this country growing and pushed for the Transcontinental Railroad. Dwight Eisenhower, one of my favorite presidents, a Republican, he pushed for the interstate highways after he saw how Hitler was developing the Autobahn in Europe that would allow the movement of traffic and equipment and people easy. So the interstate was built for military strategies, among other things. So Republicans were for smaller government, controlling budgets, things like that, not for controlling your life. And again, Planned Parenthood, it isn't just pregnancy or abortion. It's spreading of disease. That's what they were about, educating the public, supplying things, condoms if you didn't know what they were. So let me go back to my alter ego, but understand what this organization was created for and the good they do. Period.
I want to talk about what's happening around the world. Specifically, I want to mention this issue of Ukraine and the corruption. By the way, as far as I'm concerned, the Democratic Party should have gone after President Trump after the Mueller report. I encourage everybody to read the Mueller report. It's scary. Scary how far this president will go to sell our country to Russia and any dictator that he feels that he can be part of. And as we're talking about Ukraine, what do I read just now? And I'll get to Chile and all these other countries. The freezing of military aid to Lebanon that Congress, the State Department, and Pentagon had approved so that we can keep the military there going. So who is he helping again? Oh, my God, he's helping Russia. He's helping Iran. He's making sure that Al-Qaeda can now gain another foothold in another country. And he's doing it boldly, openly, and has the nerve to say that he is not selling America down the drain and making us unsafe. Here is a concern, American people. You need to start paying attention, because anything that happens overseas affects us here. Remember the World Trade Center? I was in the first bombing that everybody has forgotten. They perfected it the second time around, but there was a lot of injuries and a lot of damage mentally, psychologically, physically, including death in the first bombing right here on American soil. Remember the bombings in some of these competitions in Massachusetts and other places.
Marathons.
These marathons. Right here in America. So you're not that far away, no matter what he says, about 8,000, 7,000 miles away, and we will never be hurt. That's not true. Pay attention.
And it isn't just restricting aliens, because we've had bombers who are homegrown. Forgetting the Unabomber, Timothy McVeigh, look him up. He blew up a federal building, killed children who were there in daycare and the rest of it. One of the worst incidents ever.
That's correct. So you got to pay attention. So let's talk about the protests that are going around the world. Some of it is pressure from a lot of these tariffs that the U.S. has imposed that are actually affecting a lot of countries in Central South America, a lot of the Caribbean islands, etc. These are smaller countries, are being affected by the game that's being played by Trump and Xi and Russia. It's a game. They're all making money, greasing his hands behind the scenes. He's making sure that the stock market goes up and down. Him and Jared makes money on the downside. We're not earning anything. Look at your 401ks, people, because most of you don't know anything about the stock market except whatever little money, if you are in a job where they match your savings that you put in. Other than that, most of you will never benefit from the stock market. So pay attention. So Chile is an interesting country. I was in Chile, impressed by how beautiful the country looked, how they got out from Allende and Pinochet and have a very modern economy, actually a global economy. They are debt-free. They've got a lot of resources that they actually provide outside of their country.
Mineral resources.
A lot of mineral resources. They've got fantastic wines. I mean, they grow these things. It's amazing. But the undercurrent we didn't see. We didn't see the undercurrent of a billionaire president, Pineda. Actually, Sebastian Pineda. See, they all just because people are billionaires and have businesses, don't make them the correct person to run a country, to actually look after the needs of the citizens of their country. It makes them more greedy. It makes them just want to take more. So here we are in Chile. What started almost a month ago as a protest against raising the train and bus fare for students. You know what the minimum salary in Chile is? $400 a month. I'm talking American dollars. It's 270,000 pesos. 270,000 pesos. The average minimum salary in the United States is no better. It's $7.25 per hour, which is about $13,000 a year. By the way, at and below the poverty rate. You know how many Americans are living at or below the poverty rate? Look it up, people. So here we are in Chile. It started as that. They also have issues with not a lot of money for their pension. $38 a month once you retire. Remember, $400 a month is the minimum salary. With that, they've got to eat, educate their kids, do whatever they have to do. Then they have another issue that we've started here in America. We just want to take public funds and public educational funds and give it to private schools and charter schools and leave the public schools with nothing. So what do these people do with $400, $500, $600 a month in a salary to educate their children? They can't do it. Your children, people, are very important, because if you have kids sitting around idle, doing nothing, that's what's happened in Israel, happened in a lot of Middle Eastern countries, all these educated kids and nowhere for them to go. No jobs. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to protest. They're going to get angry. They're not going to like it. So that's what's happening in Chile right now. And the president didn't care. You know what he said? Well, wake up earlier if you have to get to work. Figure it out. He's driving in a limo. He's flying in private planes. But the kids and the parents should figure out how to get to work. And if you're an elderly person living on $38 a month in Chile, something I didn't see, but I did my research. So many of them are homeless. So many of them are begging. So many of them are going to churches to get a proper meal. But you will never see that in Santiago. But you're seeing it now because people have had it. I'm going to bring up the map of a lot of these countries. Panama, the central of the universe, the banking metro of the world.
Excuse me for a second. The reason, as we said, this is service to our country. What we're using the examples are, these are countries that experience, like countries we ran away from to form America, where they experienced monarchies, dictators, oppression. We came here to be free, to have a country we could own, live in, and love. That's what we're pointing out is happening here. Chile, with those dictators, they got rid of them. Now they've got a new one. Too fresh. They understand they don't want it.
Absolutely. And before I move forward, I want to bring that map back up again of those countries. I want to address Winston Campbell's comment. So Fox is with the Russians now. Of course they are. They joined the president in making sure that here in America, they are now the head doing Putin's takeover of the Middle East. That is true. He's taken over the Middle East. He's also splintered Europe, which is a problem, because those small little European countries, when they're not together, they're not a force. And he's also taking over America. And be careful, because what we have is a president creating a shadow military, a shadow law enforcement group. And soon you may find that your loved ones have disappeared for speaking out against him. Because remember, he's blackmailing and paying off senators right now to make sure that they don't vote against for his impeachment. So he's offering them money. Talk about open corruption, Mitch McConnell and all these guys. How much does President Trump have on them that they're willing to give up America for a couple of dollars?
And remember, that last war to end all wars, World War II, we ran as fast as we could with Britain and France to try and stop the Soviet Union from taking over all the Eastern Bloc. And now we have a president who's giving it all away.
So I want to talk about Panama right quickly. In Panama, we had a new president that came into office in July. And there's some issues there also. People are protesting. Why? Salaries are low. They also want to take money from public schools and give it to private schools. They want to change the legislature, but they're not doing anything to help people. Then we have the issue that's going on in Iraq. The Iraqis are protesting. Why? Because too much Russian and Iranian influence in their country. They also want to make sure that they have a little bit more freedom, more say in what they're doing. We have the same issue going on in the Czech Republic, Prague. We almost went to Prague, and here we are today. Beijing is in there manipulating their educational system, trying to manipulate their mayor, who unfortunately is a Chinese supporter. People, let me just say this. When you look at the way the Axis powers are lining up, China, Russia, countries in the Middle East, they're taking over. America is falling back because we have a president who decided that we don't need to be engaged. But how are we going to defend ourselves? China is in Africa, the Middle East. They're in Central and South America. They're taking over, and Russia right along with them. Be mindful of what's happening with your neighbors in your own country and with your neighbors in another country.
We serve our country by understanding what's going on. When we allow Turkey to have Russian missiles put in the country, which neuters every plane that would take off from a NATO country, they wouldn't even get in the air before they could be shot down. Now, as I reported, Turkey is getting Russian jets, advanced fighter jets. So what did we fight for all these years? When I say service to our country, it doesn't mean just sweeping the streets in America. It means doing what's in our best interest, helping other people keep their freedom and stay free. Not let a man who said, well, we don't need to be thousands of feet away. We're spending all this money. Well, you know what? Mr. Trump knows a lot of ways to spend our money and put it in his pocket better than anyone else. He just announced that he's going to no longer be a New York citizen because Florida doesn't have an income tax law. Well, you know, the man is ignorant because he's gotten away from paying taxes. His corporations, if you have a proper audit, I ran tax departments and financial operations. They should hire me. I would do it for free. I would show them how to audit him and make sure that he pays his fair share because he kept yelling at everybody else so you wouldn't look at him. China is not paying their fair share. This country is not paying it. Here's a man who boasted of paying no taxes, yet he uses our country for everything he needs. And we should pay for it. Back to my alter ego. We're almost done. And by the way, Laura in Facebook, there's a lot of people living below the poverty level. I know that. I don't know the statistic. You may be right. But Laura, thank you for the input. Go ahead.
I want to thank everyone for allowing us to give us a perspective, give you a perspective. You can look all these things up, people, on the internet. Google it. Start learning about the Constitution. Start learning about your neighbors. Start learning about the decisions that are being made that are going to make it unsafe for you and your children in the future. A lot of these old people that are running the government today, they don't care. They've got private islands. They've got, you know, some rocket ready to go to the moon somewhere and live. A lot of them are going to drop dead. And they're not leaving you anything. And I'm not against old people, by the way, because I think you need wisdom. You definitely need it. What we don't need are people who are being careless with our future.
Quick few things. Summarize again. When our country was founded a few hundred years ago, the founding fathers understood what monarchies and dictators did. That's why they wrote our Constitution, and it said to serve our country, to keep us free, is to understand that there's no foreign interference. Solicitation of help from a foreign country is illegal, period, end of sentence. Anybody who does it deserves to be in jail. Now, let me just say this. You can find us on Instagram at AE, the word equals, then MC, and the word squared. On Facebook, I'm AE, the equal sign, MC, that little caret, upside down triangle, and the number 2. You can email us at AE, the word equals, then the letters MCSQ@gmail.com. We want your input. This is not just about me or what I think of. I love serving my country. I want us to stay a free country, and I want us to prosper. So we're running down to the last few minutes. Again, my alter ego does a lot of research, just as I do. When we talk about things, you got to look at all these countries. Everybody's trying to take stuff off our back. So have a great weekend. Vote. Go out and vote every local election that you have. Look them up. Tuesday of this...